And good morning again. This is the Victoria Steele Show you are listening to on this bright and beautiful morning in the Old Pueblo. The weather is just gorgeous today, John. Did you get a chance to get out and see it, or how long? What time do you come in? You're here at dark 30.
I come in about 6 o'clock
on a Saturday morning.
There was a little bit of light,
just a little bit. Yeah,
it was a beautiful.
It is a gorgeous
sunrise.
Day. Wow. I love being in Tucson. It just does not get any better than this. But come August, I might be complaining a little bit more. Well, as always, we have John Davidson, who we were just talking to, running the board. And we've got a great show lined up for us today. A lot of great topics. One of the things that we're going to be starting out with is we're going to be talking about vaping. And there's some bills in the state legislature on vaping, and there's a problem with vaping. So you may think of vaping as this great thing, and we've got the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. So we'll have that for you. We're also going to be talking about how kids are getting felonies for having vaping cartridges with marijuana. And we'll be talking with an attorney about the people getting arrested in a certain county in Arizona for smoking marijuana or for using marijuana. And these are people who have a medical marijuana card. They're facing felonies. They're being thrown in jail. So that's scary. We'll also talk about the bill to expand the statute of limitations for people who were sexually abused as child. The statute of limitations was going to be expanded to age 30. That was effectively killed in the state house this week. We'll tell you how that came to be, and it just seems kind of unbelievable. We'll also talk about the governor flip-flopping on Trump's idea of closing the border. What's up with that? Also, did a presentation last night. Not me. Larry Bodine did a presentation last night about getting active in politics, and that's a good time to introduce Larry, because Larry is back on the show this morning. And good morning, welcome.
Good morning, Victoria.
And Larry is going to be co-hosting, sort of a guest co-host with me this morning. I love having somebody in the building who I can, you know, look in the eyes and go, okay, you know, here, let's talk about this. And that's fun, because we've got I worked with Larry, and we've got a great show up for you today. So Larry Bodine, let me tell you a little bit about Larry. He is an attorney. He is also a journalist, longtime journalist with great street cred on this. He's got, you know, a long list of things that he has done over his lengthy career. And it's amazing, because he's only 29. Hey, it's radio. They can't see us.
That's right.
They can't see us. We can tell them that we're 29. Okay, I'll go with 35.
Yeah, just imagine that.
Yeah, we'll work with that. All right, so let's get into the news of the day. So vaping, let me just bring you up to speed on vaping. It is, it came on the scene as a way of helping people get off of smoking cigarettes, because we all know that tobacco is really bad for us. But it has become incredibly popular. You use these things, these little tools, to vaporize the product. And some of them, there's this one company in particular that's quite profitable on this, and it's called Juul, J-U-U-L. And they have these little devices that look like a flash drive, and they use them to actually vaporize nicotine, and they're also called electronic smoking devices. Some of them look like cigarettes, some of them look like, I don't know, weird things, and then some of them look really, really deceptively like a jump drive that you would put into your computer to transfer files. And the problem here is kids are using them, a lot of kids. And I'll go further. The problem is these companies, just like Big Tobacco did, are targeting their advertising to kids. I mean, they have strawberry shortcake as one of the flavors for Juul. They have cotton candy for one of the flavors for Juul. They're not just going for teenagers. They're going for the little kids. And they're using them. And this has become a serious problem. So with that, while we've got this subject just barely introduced here, I want to bring in our first guest, and that is Dustin Williams. And Dustin, good morning.
Good morning, Senator. Good morning, Larry. Glad to be on your show.
Great to have you.
Good morning.
Dustin is our school superintendent for Pima County, and he is wonderful. I'm just so glad you're in this job. You do so many great things, Dustin. One of the things that we've got you talking on is the response. So before I get into what you're doing to respond to this, I wanted Larry to talk a little bit more about setting the stage for this discussion so people who have no clue what e-cigarettes or electronic devices are or what vaping is. It has become a huge industry, and there's a problem with it.
Well, the truth is that according to an Arizona youth survey, 47%, call it half, of all Pima County high school seniors have tried vaping. And Dustin, I was there at your talk last Monday night at the Pima County Democrats, where you mentioned that vaping is not only in high school and middle school, but it's also turning up now in grade school. And yeah. I did some of the research on this, and these vaping devices are easily hidden. They're clearly targeted at kids. And one of the graphics you have is that you're hooked in 10 seconds if you're a kid and you use vaping devices, just because kids' brains aren't as fully formed, and so they get addicted much more easily.
And the thing with these things, okay, and the reason that I know so much about it is because there are a couple of bills going through the state legislature, and so we've had all kinds of folks come up and testify to us. We've had all kinds of people, lobbyists for and against this thing. And just let me tell you, just straight out, so you know exactly where I'm coming from, I am totally against vaping being available for children. I do think it should be in the same class of laws. It should be dealt with exactly the way smoking laws, tobacco laws are dealt with.
That's right.
It should be taxed the same. It should be everything. None of the arguments have made me feel that this is safe for our kids. And I know back in 2013, and I was in the legislature then, 2013, we outlawed it for kids under a certain age. I think the age was you couldn't do it under 18, or was that the way? Oh, I can't remember. Dustin, do you know what the current law is?
Well, the current law right now is anyone can purchase these products at 18 years old.
Okay. But,
and so,
yeah, go ahead.
And so what's happening is you've got a whole demographic of people, mainly high school students, that are purchasing these products that Larry just spoke about, extremely addictive. Also, the amount of nicotine is also the issue. So like you said, they look like flash drives. Mm-hmm. So parents are the problem is the parents aren't quite up to speed, so they're not even sure what's going on.
But and you can't smell it. It's not like cigarette
smoke. The
little
capsule has equivalency of an entire pack of cigarettes. And so you're just getting an incredibly large amount of nicotine in one dose, and that's why they're getting hooked so fast, and that's why it's so damaging to our students.
We had one of the state's top medical directors talk about this in committee. I serve as the ranking Democrat on the Health and Human Services Committee in the Senate. And we had William Humble talk about it. And he said that it is incredibly addicting. People think that this is safe because it doesn't have tobacco, but it has the nicotine in it. And the nicotine, the amount and the concentration of nicotine is people could get, just like what you said, Dustin, in one sitting, they could do the whole cigarette and the e-cigarette and get a whole pack's worth of nicotine. That could give a kid a heart attack. And we don't know exactly what else is in these e-cigarettes, the juice that's in them. What else
right.
is there? And so that more research has to be done on this. But I don't think that we should have a whole generation of little ones addicted to this by the time they turn 18. We need to do something. This is a huge problem.
And that's really what it is, Senator. And it is, you know, what do we do? So we partnered up with the Pima County Health Department, and we have a campaign called The Real Deal on Vaping. It's The Real Deal on Vaping. It gives schools, and that's district, charter, private, and just the community. You go to schools.pima.gov, or you can go at Pima School SUP, and we can give them toolkits for the Real Deal on Vaping campaign that is going to start to give the public, number one, the awareness of what's going on, and then number two, how do we combat that? And so when we launched last week, as Larry mentioned, we're already in Sunnyside, we're already in discussions with AmFi, and we're already in discussions with some charter schools. So it's great to see how it's moving, but the most important part of the Real Deal campaign, totally built by kids, 100% homegrown by students. The health department in our office said, if we're going to deliver the message, so they've got some really neat infographics. It, you know, it talks about anything from, you know, these vapors, big tobacco has gotten really clever. You know, 30 years ago, we had an epidemic with cigarettes. Now we're right back where we are with vaping, and they've packaged this stuff in the form of cotton, you know, scents like cotton candy and watermelon and mango. And so,
yeah,
and then the devices are real neat and cool. And so the kids just don't understand what they're doing.
Right.
And what's really happening is they're damaging their lives.
And these e-cigarettes are literal, they are battery powered smokeless devices that heat up a liquid that typically contains nicotine. These devices then convert that liquid into a mist, which users then inhale. They inhale that mist. And a lot of people have and are successfully, a lot of adults successfully using this to transfer their cigarette habit for their tobacco habit and get off of tobacco. And that's a really, you know, honorable use. That's a good use for this. And I think that they shouldn't be outlawed, but they should be. We've got to do something to keep these out of the hands of kids, because when they exhale, they have these puffs of vape. They're clouds of steam and that looks like smoke. And school officials are now saying they're prevalent in school bathrooms. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control, CDC, says e-cigarettes are unsafe for kids. Not only is nicotine highly, highly addictive, just as addictive, if not more so, than opiates. They are potentially harmful to the brain development of adolescents. But they can also contain things that are more harmful, other harmful substances besides nicotine. So,
to your point, Victoria,
yeah.
The Federal Food and Drug Administration is now investigating vaping for causing seizures in kids.
Yes.
They're reviewing 35 cases of seizures,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, somebody just took a poke on one of these devices and went into a seizure.
Right.
So there's some sort of toxic mix in there.
And they speed up the heart rate, and they could potentially be deadly and I don't know if anyone has actually, if a child has actually died from overdosing on too much nicotine, as having a heart attack as a result. Larry, I don't know, you're a pretty good reporter. You could probably research this while we're on the air. But so tell me a little bit more, Dustin, as the superintendent of Pima County Schools, tell me a little bit more about your approach to this and what you've seen.
So we started working on this probably about early November of last year. And the discussions along the way, that was with the Pima County Health Department. So So the discussion with all schools, and I just want to put that out there, it's not just our district, it's not just charter, it's not just private, it is literally everywhere. And when you talked about them blowing the vape smoke, remember, instantaneously, it's also then gone, and there's no aroma except for maybe a slight smell of peach or mango. So the kids aren't just doing them in the bathrooms. They're doing them in the actual classrooms as
right.
well.
Right.
Because
I've even heard that some kids will have like a T-shirt and they'll have the vapor device in their sleeve, you know, near their wrist, and they could right in front of the teacher vape and let the smoke or the steam out just little by little.
And you remember you discussed how you can charge them. Well, you can charge them actually on a laptop.
Oh,
so
God.
And remember, they look just like a flash drive. So you wouldn't know if you were charging a Juul or a vapor or e-cigarette or an actual flash drive. And you know, I told everyone one stores data and then one kills you.
Yeah.
And that's really the concern. So what has kind of happened? So when we partnered up with the health department, we also had the sheriff department come in as well and kind of talk to us a little bit, which was another interesting twist that's happening, is the capsules on the end of the, specifically the Juuls and the juice that you can put in the vapor device, they're now seeing that you can manipulate that and you can put other products in that, and you can have dangerous products, stuff that you can buy from China that you have no clue of what's in those actual products.
You can even have marijuana in them. And
yeah.
I just read last night as I was researching for the show today that there was somebody, I think in Arizona, that was charged, a kid charged with a felony because they had a vaping device and it had marijuana.
Kids in Tucson getting charged with felonies.
Whoa.
That's
all
right.
You're
putting the sheriff's department in a situation, or whoever, the police department, where state law, I mean, if you're caught with drugs on a campus, it's an instant felony. And
yeah.
so their hands are really tied.
Yeah, I know.
And
it's really
scary.
The next
thing is, well, what do we do? And so that's where we have to start working with prosecutors and attorneys to say, hey.
That's right.
You know, we've got something to show. That's
all right, Dustin. We're going to have to go to break, but before we do, before we say goodbye to you, I would like you to give the information on how people can get this Real Deal toolkit. Tell us again what it is.
It's the Real Deal on Vaping campaign. Just go to schools.pima.gov.
All right.
And
thank
you. We have a link right on the website.
All right. Dustin Williams, Pima County Superintendent of Schools, thank you so much for joining us today on this important topic. And good luck with this. I wish you much luck on this process.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And thank you.
You're welcome. And we will be right back with more of the Victoria Steele Show. You are listening to KVOI, The Voice. And welcome back to the Victoria Steele Show. You're listening to KVOI The Voice. And I'm Victoria. My guest co-host today is Larry Bodine. Welcome
again. Good morning, everybody.
And so we are talking about several different topics this morning. There were so many things. And it was really the hardest part about coming up with this show today was figuring out what to take out, because there's so much. We also have joining us a dear friend, Joel Feinman, and Joel is Pima County Defense Attorney, Pima County Public Defender?
Public Defender.
Hi, Joel.
Hello, Victoria. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And it's Pima County Public Defender.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. And so We've been talking about vaping. Before we get into people in other counties being arrested for medical marijuana, tell me a little bit about your take on these vaping bills and the the issue around vaping and kids in school. And oh, before you do that, Joel, I just want to say we did get a caller wanted to know, is this being vaping, are the vaping laws being enforced in schools? And absolutely, yes, they are. But it has become such a big problem. And one of the problems is the advertising that targets kids. And I don't mean just 18-year-olds. I'm talking about little kids. Targeting them with, you know, the flavors and the advertising that they're doing. And they can get, and we had kids come in, we had young people come in, teenagers come in to the state and into our Senate committee and talk to us about how their schoolmates and even in some cases them in the past, they get this, the vaping stuff from the older people. The older kids that are 18 that can get it legally. So they have a hookup that gets it for them. And this is really, so, but yes, and when they do get caught with it, they are in big trouble. So anyway, what's your take on this, Joel? Do you have anything to add on that topic before we move to the other?
Well, I just think we have to be very careful when we talk about the criminalization of vaping, the criminalization of, you know, marijuana possession for children. I don't think the criminal justice system is how we want to deal with these problems.
Exactly.
Treating children like criminals is a great way to help ensure that they don't graduate, don't get good jobs, don't become productive members of society. And it's a really great way to keep feeding that school-to-prison pipeline.
That's right.
We really need to reform all of our drug laws, so that they include modern technologies, so that these aren't really dealt with through the criminal justice system anymore. They need to be dealt with through the behavioral health system, the public health system. They need to be dealt with as public health problems, not criminal ones.
All right. I did want to put out there that if anybody would like to join the show today and make their voice heard on this issue, this or any issue that we're talking about today, the number to call in is 520-790-2040. That's 790-2040. So give us a call and take part. And Larry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Joel, Dustin Williams mentioned that kids in Tucson high schools are getting charged with felonies for possession of these little vape devices that have a marijuana cartridge. Is that a fact, and do you think that's appropriate?
It is absolutely a fact, and it's completely inappropriate. Arizona is the last state in the country that classifies possession of marijuana, no matter how small the amount, as a felony. And my office sees the Pima County Attorney, Barbara LaWall, charge 150 to 200 juveniles per year with felony marijuana possession.
Oh, God.
And we're talking about minuscule amounts of marijuana. Mm. Now, those are juvenile felony charges, but they are felony charges nonetheless. And, you know, when I love Dustin to death when he talks about the sheriff and the police department and these are the laws, that's true, but there's also wide discretion about how we enforce these laws. And we don't have to charge 150 kids a year with felony marijuana possession. That's a choice. That's a choice that our county attorney is making, and it's a choice that she could decide not to make tomorrow if she wanted to.
So let's talk about marijuana, and more specifically, medical marijuana. Larry, we have a situation in Yavapai County that has become rather contentious, in which one county's take on medical marijuana is making some medical marijuana users criminals.
That's very true. The Yavapai County attorney, Sheila Polk, is prosecuting people with felony charges who have medical marijuana cards on them and, you know, were consuming marijuana extracts that they bought legally. And it really makes a difference what your zip code is in terms of how you're, what crime you're charged with and how much time you do. I got some information from the Law Enforcement Action Partnership. This is a police organization. And they find that the state average time for drug possession is 40 months in prison. But in Yavapai County, where Sheila Polk operates, it's 50 months. So she's not only charging people, but she's seeking harsher sentences. And, you know, the The prime example is a guy called Adam Wanko. He's 48 years old and lives in Prescott. He was stopped by the police, and he had a medical marijuana card on him. He was consuming this honey-colored wax, and he was charged with a felony. And, you know, the irony is the guy was on his way to get his cancer treatment. He has stage 4 cancer, and he missed his appointment. Thank you very much, Sheila Polk.
So I have a story of another guy who was stopped for speeding in Yavapai County. Now, had he been stopped for speeding and they found this sort of called a wax, it's you can make this marijuana into, because not everybody who uses medical marijuana smokes it. Sometimes it's in a product in a way that you can
It's in, like, a gummy, it's in a brownie, a cookie, a wax. There's all sorts of derivatives
and things like that. Yes, yeah. So that you can take it, and so the children who have the medical marijuana card as well. This is a medicine. We understand now that this truly does help people who are on chemo, who are dealing with extreme pain. So you can get legally, I mean, the voters put this through as initiative or Proposition 203, known as the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, or AMMA. This was passed in 2010. The voters overwhelmingly said, we want this. But now we have, if he had been stopped in Tucson, nothing would have happened. He would have been charged for speeding and he would have been on his way. But he was taking marijuana and using the wax, and in Yavapai County he was stopped for speeding, and they found that he had this wax or these gummy bears in his car.
He did 2.5 years in prison for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, I mean, the fines, there were a lot, very high dollar fines, and his car was towed. So of course there's that expense. I mean, work expense, when you miss days of work, when you miss months of work because you've been what is going on? Joel, what do you know about these situations? Help me put this into some sort of sense.
Well, I can give you additional information, but it's not going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel worse. So
great.
I encourage people to go to the Arizona Department of Corrections website. They have a fabulous website, and they issue a report every month. It's called Corrections at a Glance, and it'll tell you exactly who's in prison and for what. And in February 2019, there were 218 people in Arizona prisons for marijuana possession. As a comparison, there was 158 people in Arizona prisons for domestic violence and 143 people in Arizona prisons for arson.
Oh, my
God.
So
we imprison more people in this state for marijuana possession than we do for domestic violence or for arson. The sense that I can make of it is this is yet another example of this 50-year-long failed war on drugs, where we insist, despite all evidence and despite all history, that treating marijuana and other drugs as criminal problems and not public health issues is going to solve it. And it just makes it worse and worse and worse. And we spend billions and billions and incarcerate more and more people every year.
So we have Ingrid on the line joining the conversation with us this morning. Good morning, Ingrid.
Good morning. The larger issue of how children are being charged with felonies and so forth goes into an even larger issue where children are tried as adults for serious crimes. A child is a child, even if the child murdered somebody. I hope that the prosecuting study, the defense attorney, Mr. Feynman, is it?
Yes.
Please think about that. Please think about that.
Okay.
And also the business of driving with marijuana in your system, whether you smoked it or taking it as a pill or an ointment or a cookie, it seems to be irrelevant. If it's in your system and it's affecting your ability to drive, should you be on the road?
All right. Thank you, Ingrid. And so in light of what Ingrid just said, I think the issue, as I delve into this a bit more, I think the issue, particularly in Yavapai County, is you are allowed to possess the marijuana flower, but you cannot have a, according to the law, it does not, there's a question over whether it includes a concentrated wax that could be made into gummies, like it looks like gummy bears, or whatever other forms that it comes into. And it, what that there is disagreement over that. And I should say that as this case goes to higher courts, Sheila Polk, prosecutor in Yavapai County, has backed way off. They're at this point, as of mid-March, they have stopped arresting people for this. What do you know about that and that struggle on that issue, Joel?
The case was just argued in front of the Arizona Supreme Court, so we're all waiting with bated breath to hear from the Supreme Court. The issue is, as you said, Victoria, whether Prop 203 covers marijuana and its extracts, which is what everybody in the state thinks, or whether Prop 203 just covers the leafy green bud of marijuana, which is what Sheila Polk thinks. The Supreme Court justices during oral argument seemed pretty skeptical of Ms. Polk's argument. But you never know. I think all the county attorneys, all of law enforcement, are really waiting with bated breath for this Supreme Court decision, because if the Supreme Court decides that extract is not covered, then there'll be dispensaries that immediately are in violation of the law overnight.
Right.
All medical marijuana patients will immediately be in violation of the law. It's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah, and this is going to be not only addressed in the courts, this is going to be addressed in legislation. We had some legislation that tried to go through this year to have marijuana defined a little differently. But when it comes to that Prop 203, because it's a voter
initiative,
it's held to a much more difficult standard. So you have to have a lot more people voting on it than just a simple majority. I think you have to have a 3/4 majority, and it has to be deemed by the courts as furthering the law, not cutting it back. So that's a big deal. Okay, so we're going to have to take a break, and I wanted to thank you. Joel, is there anything more that you wanted to mention about this topic before we move on to another one and say goodbye to you this morning?
No, but I appreciate the time, Senator. I appreciate the time, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Joel Fineman, Pima County Public Defender, for joining us this morning. And we will be back with more on the Victoria Steele Show. You are listening to KVOI, The Voice. And good morning. We are back with more of the Victoria Steele Show. And I am your host, Victoria. I want to thank my sponsors, The Glue Factory. By the way, I was just talking with John, our board op on the other, our engineer on the other side of the glass this morning. And we were talking about how we both were running out of business cards. And that is something that a lot of folks need. Do you know that you can get any print job that you want for 20% off if you go to the Glue Factory and tell them that you heard about that discount on my show? So if you say the Victoria Steele Show, Glue Factory will give you a 20% off discount. And it's really cool because I get all of my political signs done there. And sometimes there are So when I ran for Congress, here's something really cool. When I ran for Congress, I had these big signs that said Victoria Steele, you know, up on top. They were big. They were like 4 feet by 4 feet. And then underneath it said for Congress. And then when I didn't make it, I decided that I was going to go for state Senate. So I had them retrofit my old sign. So I recycled with the help of Glue Factory. So it says Victoria Steele, and at the bottom it's retrofitted to say for Senate.
Very practical.
I know.
And that,
I love
and that
recycling.
Worked. You are an incumbent senator.
I did, yes. And I wouldn't say it's all due to Dwight over at Glue Factory, but holy cow, they were really willing to work with me and do this. They do so many things. But what I love about the Glue Factory most is they are very involved in the community. They know so much. They are actively involved in a lot of humanitarian type of issues, particularly saving Oak Flats. And so I love the folks over there. And so go by, see, call the Glue Factory. That's GLOO Factory. We've also got another sponsor I want to thank, and that's Mesquite Interiors. You got to go over to their stores like Camino Principal and Tankerville. It's over in that area. And they're only open a couple of days a week. You'll have to call them and make an appointment. This store, Rudy owns it, and he and his family actually hand make the furniture that's in this store. And what they do is they take big pieces of wood, reclaimed wood, like mesquite wood, huge, gorgeous pieces of wood, huge, really, really big. And they will make entire pieces of furniture out of one chunk of wood, one solid piece of wood.
Way cool.
I know. And it is so beautiful. And it is, he is an artist. He doesn't just build furniture. He doesn't just slap things together and put a few nails and some glue. This man is an artist, and his products are absolutely exquisite. I also want to thank Stephen Portell Law Firm. And Steve is a good buddy of mine, and he is an attorney that comes on the show occasionally, and I'm going to see if we can get him on again soon as well. And Stephen does a lot of pro bono work in the community, and this man's got a heart of gold, and he's also, I kind of liken Stephen to a German shepherd that will fight for you, but you know he's just
protective,
just your best friend. You know, he really cares about people, and it shows in the work that he does. So this is somebody that I trust implicitly. So call the Portell Law Firm if you've got any legal issues that you want to talk about. All right, so we're moving on to a different topic. Today, I want to talk, probably for the most of the rest of the show, about something that happened, I think it was Thursday, on at the Capitol, in the House. Senator Paul Boyer has a bill, and it was killed, and then he was able to bring it back. And this bill will give childhood sex abuse victims more time to sue. So basically, the way it is now is if you were a victim of incest or a victim of pedophilia, somebody raped you, and I got to tell you, let's just start with this. I'm included in that, okay? This is my history. I am a victim of childhood sexual abuse, not by my immediate family, but by somebody else. And you just, this kind of stuff can destroy lives. And just last week, we had a state representative resign, and then came the police reports that said he had been accused of raping young boys, one of which was a developmentally delayed boy. So what this bill would have done is it would have given people who were raped as children or sexually abused as children the ability to sue. Currently, you can sue up until age 18. You've got 2 years from age 18 to report it. And if you don't report it by the time you're 20, forget it, it's done. This bill would have made it go to age 30. Now, there's another part about this bill that's really important. It would have allowed you, if you had been raped any time in your life, you could report it for a period of 2 years, even if it was decades ago. You could have reported it. And the reason for doing that is so that you can shine a light. And if somebody has committed incest or pedophilia, if an adult has had sex with a child, has raped a child, not have sex, raped, if that has happened, it is extremely unlikely that that is the only one time they ever did it, because they get away with it and they do it. And when it happened to me, I was an adult before I realized that I wasn't the only victim. I thought I was. It was the big family secret. Everybody and their brother had been a victim of this person. This person was a minister, and he had been doing this to lots of people. So the idea of allowing people to be able to report this abuse and go back now, even though it happened years ago, and maybe you didn't even know that it was a crime immediately, now this, okay, that's the whole thing, because now we can find out, and when you find those people, you find that you've usually got a serial abuser on your hands. And that's the whole point of having that two-year window where, you know, would be in law. So for now, for, you know, like from the time this law goes in, there's 2 years. And you could, everybody can do this. And what we're going to find in the states that have done that is that you find there are some serial abusers out there, and you can get them shut down. However, this bill was shut down and not even allowed to be voted on.
What?
Thursday in the House.
No.
They did this. Uh-huh. They did. I am livid. I am furious. Yeah. And there is, on my website, I've got a link to the, I think it's Channel 5 in Phoenix. I've got a link site to their news story in which Senator Eddie Farnsworth talks to the reporter and says, no, because you're going to have people coming out after decades of having done this, after decades of, you know, it happened decades ago and somebody's being accused and there's no way of fighting that, and it's just going to ruin too many lives.
He's standing up for the sex predators is what it sounds like Eddie Farnsworth is doing.
I'm not going to say that.
I said it.
Okay.
You know, and the point is that, you know, if some trauma happens to you when you're a little kid, or even if you're, you know, 15 or 16, mm-hmm. it takes years, like, to come to terms with it, you know, sort of get to the point where you can talk about it without crying.
I know.
So you need this extra time. You need
And you don't even know that it was a crime. We had an attorney who was testifying for this bill saying, listen, I was 30 and I was in law school before I realized what had happened to me was a crime.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to have to take a short break and we'll be back with more on the Victoria Steele Show. You are listening to KVOI, The Voice. And welcome back. You're listening to the Victoria Steele Show. I'm your host, Victoria. And joining us as guest co-host today is Larry Bodine. He is an attorney and also a blogger for...
The Blog for Arizona.
Ta-da. All right, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Blog for Arizona is a news and information site from a liberal perspective. We've got a team of citizen journalists who produce news every day. If you really want to know what's going on, I highly recommend you check out the Blog for Arizona.
And you can find it on Facebook. You can find it on Google it, the Blog for Arizona. Awesome journalists work there. Okay, so back to this subject of the idea of this bill is to extend the statute of limitations from age 20 to age 30. That's the basic idea. And this attorney that testified for this bill that was killed Thursday by Senator Eddie Farnsworth, essentially, Greg Kelly is this attorney from Arizona, and he said he was abused as a child, and he didn't really realize that what had happened to him was a crime until he was actually in his 30s in law school. And he says that civil court is the best way to give victims a shot at justice while outing sexual predators. However, people who are against this law, like Senator Eddie Farnsworth, says it will just be exposing innocent people to frivolous lawsuits. And he's quoted as saying the way this is happening is basically a witch hunt, end quotes. Who does that sound like?
Well, it sounds to me like the orange-skinned one that's in the White House.
You has trouble got that right.
Has trouble telling the truth.
Mm. You know, I ran for this office because the entire reason that I became involved in politics at all was because I am dedicated. My entire life is about making this world safer for children and vulnerable adults and to strengthen families. That is my whole reason for being, much less being in office. And I will take this bill, and next year, I will make this bill happen. We will make it happen. We'll find a way to make this bill happen. Because you can't have in Arizona, a state legislator who is kicked out of office because of allegedly raping little boys back in the 1980s, and that coming to light and making racist comments. And then a week later, less than a week later, we have a state lawmaker, a group of state lawmakers refusing to allow this bill being voted on that would give childhood sex abuse victims more time to sue the people who harmed them.
I mean, it's just complete hypocrisy. A bill like this should get a hearing. It should be allowed to get a vote. And, you know, we don't need defenders like Eddie Farnsworth, who is sticking up for sexual predators, to stop this legislation.
Right. He just wants to make sure that innocent people aren't hurt. Well, isn't that the whole point of a court? That's why you have a court, so they can get due process. But the victims should not be prevented from saying their side. This happened to me. Now, my perpetrator is long dead. It was my grandfather, and he's long dead. I can't do anything about him. But there are some perpetrators who are still living, and if they have done it once...
Oh, they'll do it many times.
That's right. They usually have a whole bunch of victims, and it's really hard for people to talk about this. So it's just really, really maddening to think that, I mean, and now we've got the House Democrats insisted this week that it's now time for us to have a code of conduct that really addresses these things. And I talked to our leadership in the Senate saying, we need a code of conduct in the Senate as well, because just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't. We need to be able to respond to these things. We need to have legislators know this is the standard. You must live up to this standard. If you go beyond that, you're gone. All right. Well, we just so much to talk about and not enough time to do it. Thank you so much for listening to the Victoria Steele Show today. Thank you, Larry Bodine, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Victoria.
If you would like to be a sponsor of the show, call us, email us at info@victoria-steele.com. Join us next Saturday morning at 9 for another Inside Perspective as we discuss the top issues of the week on the Victoria Steele Show. See you next week. Bye.